Kansas State University President Richard Myers recently spoke before Congress on possible threats to U.S. agriculture. Myers says he made several points in talking to the Senate Ag Committee, chaired by Kansas Senator Pat Roberts. The K-State president and former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said he made several points about both natural and man-made threats, one being that Congress ought to consider agriculture as a critical infrastructure.
And the nation really doesn't prioritize it that way today, particularly in Washington, when they're looking at intelligence efforts or other funding efforts towards that. And then to talk about our needs that are pretty well encapsulated in some of the presidential directives but haven't been operationalized. And so I think the committee was looking, and the Senate's looking for a way to authorize certain things to happen. And so we were providing, there were four panelists, former Senator Joe Lieberman, myself, and a fellow from Michigan State University, a plant pathologist, and a veterinarian from North Carolina. And so they got testimony from all of us to talk about potential threats to our ag infrastructure and some recommendations that we proposed that they implement.
Would it be wrong to assume that the threat mainly revolves around economics and the damage that could be done?
Well, I think that's part of it. It certainly is. There's an economic component, as we've seen before with outbreaks of some of the porcine diseases and so forth, but and others. Bird influenza and how it wiped out a bunch of turkeys up in the upper Midwest. This amounts to lots of dollars and big economic disruption. But it's more than that, too. It's also disrupting food supplies, and done on a wide enough scale, then it can impact people's diets or the health of those diets. So it's that part. And then it's just, if it's other than the natural occurring disease, which there's plenty of that and plenty of those pathogens out there, but if it were done intentionally by a terrorist group, then there's another dimension that I don't think most people think about, but you think back to 9/11, and what did they want to do with 9/11? Al-Qaeda wanted to create fear. And when you're fearful, you don't act logically. You do things that you wouldn't normally do. So I think there's that element too. So it's not just the economic impact in a certain part of the country, but the calorie impact, if you would, and the impact that terrorism has on anybody that's experienced it, and that is fear.
Was there any talk about steps Congress might take to alleviate any of that?
Well, yes, because a lot of it is encapsulated in a presidential directive. Actually, I have two, one kind of for animal plants, one for humans. And we pointed out that, if you're a living thing, a plant or an animal or a human, that maybe some of these things should apply to all those groups. And it's just, so we talked about how they might think about organizing that at a federal level. Need somebody in charge of this this effort. That right now it's really diffused out among many organizations and not prioritized very highly. And then specifically for Kansas State, we're doing some research in our Biosecurity Research Institute, known as Pat Roberts Hall here. It runs out of state money next year, FY19. And if that doesn't continue, then there's going to be a gap between fiscal year 19 and then 22 or 23, 2022, 2023, when the National BioAgri Defense Facility comes online. And so we asked specifically for some kind of gap funding so we can continue this research and the training that goes with it to be ready for the NBAF when it comes online. And also, the portfolio for these diseases rests right now at Plum Island. And we've asked that, they're not doing research on it, that's just where the money in the portfolio is. We've asked they transfer that as well. So we had some very specific and then some more broadly general recommendations for them.
Was the response positive?
Yes. I think, to show you the importance, sometimes these hearings can just have one or two senators. They probably had, 8 to 10 senators cycle through, ask questions. They'll have questions for the record. So I think it showed a lot of interest. There has been subsequent interest in doing the same thing on the House side. So it got picked up by the Associated Press and wide distribution of our testimony. So I think it's had a pretty good impact. You want to get ready for either natural occurring pathogens that cause all kinds of disease, or the terrorist piece of it, without being too alarming. But the threat is real, and we try to make that pretty clear as well.
Meanwhile, the president was not the only Kansas State official talking to lawmakers. Sue Peterson, assistant to the president and director of governmental relations, also recently traveled to Washington. Representatives from both Kansas State and the University of Kansas visited the offices of the entire Kansas congressional delegation. Peterson says they were most concerned about the possible impact of legislation to higher education, specifically centered around graduate student stipends.
We talked about a provision in the House bill that essentially all these graduate students who teach on behalf of Kansas State, they receive a stipend, and then we also pay their tuition through a tuition waiver. They're not paid very much money. And the Congress wanted to tax their tuition waiver piece. So all of higher education in the country, and particularly with the land-grant universities, we mobilized around that issue. And we spoke to the Senate offices and said, don't pick this up. Don't put it back in conference. We talked to the House offices and said, we know you've already voted for this, but if there's a way not to do this when you come back in the conference committee, we would appreciate that. Both Congressman Marshall and Congressman Yoder signed a letter and said, take this out. Do not put this in the final bill. Congresswoman Jenkins' office called me, and she was on the Ways and Means Committee. She spoke to the conferees. That provision was removed. And that was probably, we had a number of issues, Richard, that we worked on in H.R. 1, but that was probably the number one, which has the biggest impact on Kansas State and our ability to deliver education and to grow that graduate teaching and teaching and research pool out there to go out into the world, and they help spur innovation after they graduate.
Is there anything else going on in Congress that might have an impact here?
Well, they're supposed to pass a budget by September 30th when the end of the fiscal year comes up. And, of course, that's a big issue for us, formula funds for the Department of the College of Agriculture for K-State Research and Extension. And then all of the funding agencies that we apply to for grants and respond to grant proposals. That bill, that budget is not passed. It was extended to December 8th. It is now extended until December 22nd. And there's some word is it might extend into the new year. And then we'll run up into a time when the president will be putting out his new budget in February. So it just provides a ton of uncertainty for those programs. I think research and extension, of which that you know quite a bit about, obviously, doesn't know whether or not they'll have their funding because they have not gotten funding as it's for the new fiscal year.
Any funding at all?
It will be probably a continuing resolution. You'll continue to get funding, but the Congress has to continue to either do a continuing resolution or a new budget.
What's the holdup on that?
I think a lot of things. I think this tax bill probably breaks loose a lot of items. There are priorities in the Trump administration that Congress is either accepting or not accepting. And it's just, frankly, a matter of getting everything put together and getting it done. You know, with the process, and the president could probably explain this much better than I, the process of how many votes it takes to pass something in the United States Senate. Does it take 60 and then you potentially have a filibuster? Or does it take a simple majority of 51? They've got all of those rules that apply to what they're trying to do.
It's really not unusual to have a continuing resolution for some period of time, right? They don't get their work done on time, but it prohibits any new starts. So if we have something new, a new grant or something, a continuing resolution is not going to help you in that regard. With research and extension, my guess is there's a base budget that it would help to know that you've got it, because we're talking about this fiscal year, the one we're in, one we're trying to execute in, and not next fiscal year, but this fiscal year. So it's really the uncertainty it creates and complicates your budget planning for sure.
Well, let's come closer to home. We've got the Kansas legislative session starting in what, a little over a month?
January 8th.
How do things look there as far as money goes?
Richard, I would say is tax policy was changed in the 2017 legislative session. They passed a $1.2 billion roughly tax bill that funds the state's budget for fiscal years 18 and 19. So that budget is in place. Having said that, there's been a school finance ongoing case. There's a judgment by the Kansas Supreme Court, judgment's maybe not the right word, a ruling, that we do not adequately fund our schools in the state of Kansas.
K through 12,
excuse me. Thank you for that clarification, President. We spend about $4 billion, and that's not adequate, according to the Kansas Supreme Court. There's a committee meeting trying to decide what the legislature's response should be to that court ruling. One of those items is you need to change some statutes, but do we need to add anywhere from $600 million up in new dollars into K through 12 funding? And the state doesn't have $600 million.
So it could come back to impact higher education. Every other state agency, to include the Regent universities, it could impact those budgets as well. Right now, the way they're passed for 19, we're in pretty good shape because they added back some previous cuts. So we look pretty good right now, but that's the one caveat. What are they going to do about K through 12? How are they going to try to accommodate the court's ruling on this and or advice? Whatever we call it, but the Kansas Supreme Court's ruling on this, and if it's a large number, even the new tax revenue is probably not going to cover it. So we're going to have some shortfalls, and we don't know about that yet. That'll have to be decided.
So I think the legislature's got a big job, Richard, and they've got to figure out what they need to do. And as we were talking a little bit before we started. There's data that's been out there about people who get some kind of post-secondary credential past high school, that you have a better chance of getting a job and a better paying job. And the data doesn't lie. It talks about how good that is for people to do. And the legislature is looking at all options, Richard. So adding money is an option, making changes. There's a lot of conversation about changing what the Constitution says relative to K through 12 education, about defining a suitable education, and do you leave that in or take that out? So they've got a big job. They have a really big job to
do. That's huge, and a really important job, too. It'll define a lot about education in Kansas, K through 12, higher education, no matter how they come out on this. And as Sue said, one thing we know about higher education from Federal Reserve study about 15 years ago, I think I mentioned this the last time we were together, the only way you increase economic prosperity and wealth for everybody is through talent that has that innovates, that has good ideas and a vision, and that comes in large part from universities and university graduates. That's how you do it. And if you don't do that, then you spiral down in your economy where it's, you're just not prospering. People can't prosper. So higher education, the whole educational system in Kansas is really important for our prosperity. And I think our legislators obviously know that for the most part, and they're going to have to deal with how they balance our budget.
That's the president of Kansas State University, Richard Myers, along with Sue Peterson, assistant to the president and director of governmental relations at Kansas State. I'm Richard Baker.